Good afternoon again. It's sure good to be here with you. Like I said last week in the announcements, no place like home. Well, thank Mr. Dubai for the choice of hymns he had today. It goes along with my sermon pretty well. It's amazing how things work out that way sometimes. It just lets us know who's in charge. And aren't we thankful? I'm hoping you all had a good week. Like I said, it was better than last week, that's for sure. A few of us were bothered by things. I know that Paula had some trouble at her place where she's at. I think a tree liked her pretty well, and she moved away from it. I don't know if anyone else had any real major damage, and I'm glad to hear that because it hit down in a lot of places, so we can always count our blessings and be thankful that we have a God that looks out for us, that's for sure. You know, we're blessed this weekend. We get to have a double Sabbath. We get to be with each other 2 days in a row. You know, this is family. This is what God has called you and I to be a part of, and how blessed we are. And the more time we spend together, the better we get to know each other, the better our prayers can be for each other. And we may find out people need help, and we can help them out that we didn't know about. So that's what families do. So we're having a gathering for 2 days now. So it's really good, thanks to God, on his Sabbath day. And then for the feast tomorrow, which is definitely a very important part of our lives. Because on that day of Pentecost, tomorrow, that's when the Spirit was given out to other people also. That's when God opened the doors after Christ had died and gone away. So let's turn there, of course, Acts 2:1. Because it's the next annual holy day that God has for us to keep. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord at one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of the rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire, and it was sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. As you know, the other utterance was that there was different people there, different languages, and everybody could stand it, understand what they were saying, because there's so many dialects in some of these different areas. So that's what we're going to be keeping tomorrow. But I want us to go back 52 days. I want us to go back to Passover, because that's when everything begins. And we realize that when we're at Passover, you and I have come before God. We're to look at ourselves, and we're to renew our contract with our Father. Because anyone who's been baptized has received God's Holy Spirit. And we all want God's Holy Spirit working in us. So, let's remember how important this day is. So let's go back to Numbers 5, if you would. We'll just go through it real quick. But sometimes it's good to remember what we have taken part of from what is happening tomorrow on the Feast of Pentecost. So back in Deuteronomy 5. I'm sorry, 9:5, excuse me. I said Deuteronomy, then. It's Numbers. I'm sorry. I'm going like, maybe I did hit my head on that escalator. I don't know. I looked at that and I said, that's definitely wrong. Numbers 9:5. verse 5 it says, and they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month at even. On the 14th day of the first month, it tells you exactly what day you're to keep the Passover. And for us, that's past year. This is on Thursday, April the 18th at evening. And we who were baptized kept the Passover. And that was at sunset on the 14th day. That's when it all begins for us in God's new year. And it starts with the Passover. At that time, you and I, once again, we've examined ourselves and we're to come before God. And we keep the Passover, asking for Him to have Jesus Christ, our Savior, who gave His life, His perfect life, died a horrible death, that each of us can be forgiven and have all of our sins removed. What a loving God. What a loving God. As he was singing in one song, "How great thou art," that's our God. That's our God. He is that great one. He is the mighty one. And he is the loving one. As we come out of Passover, we felt like we had a new life, right? You knew that your sins had been forgiven. We'd done our part, repented. Christ had done his part. He gave his life for each of us. And he was our sacrificial lamb. Now, you know, if anyone missed that Passover due to circumstances, sickness, something happened, breakdown of a car or something, our loving God has a second Passover. And it's 30 days later. That shows how much he loves us. Our God is love. He loves us. He created us. He made us. And he wants us to have every opportunity to be with him. He wants his family to grow. And he wants us, since we've been called, to be a part of that family for eternity. So if you go down to verse 11, and it says, on the 14th day of the second month, which this year was Saturday, May the 18th, at sunset, at even they shall keep it and eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They shall leave none of it unto the morning, nor break the bone of it. According to all the ordinances of the Passover, they shall keep. Just like the first Passover. We did foot washing, and you took the bread and the wine. Now, there's one thing that happens during the days of unleavened bread, which come after the Passover, and that's the wave sheaf offering. And that's how we get to date of Pentecost. During the feast on the Sabbath, there's a wave sheaf offering. And that wave sheaf offering is done on Sabbath during the unleavened bread. And that changes. So Pentecost is not on the same day every year. It's the only holy day. It's not on the same day. Everyone rests, just like we get before. First month, 14th day, you know, seventh month. But not Pentecost. Because it depends on when the new year starts and what day it'll be. It can be 2 or 3 days off. This year, it was on Saturday, and Friday was the beginning of days of unleavened bread. So the first day was wave sheaf offering that day. So you count from 50 days there to come up to the date that you will be keeping Pentecost. And that's how we get it. That's how we get today. And it can change. But it will always be on a Sunday. Because the wave sheaf offering is on the Sabbath during the days of unleavened bread, and then you count 50 days. But Pentecost is always on Sunday. So God has given us a plan that we've been following up till now. Went through Passover, days of unleavened bread, first day, second day, and now we've come to the Feast of Pentecost, where God gave the Holy Spirit. And you and I, back there, is why I wanted us to go back, is realize that's what was done for you and I and all that God calls. Because if the Holy Spirit hadn't been given, then could we go back and have Passover and God forgive us for our sins? Christ had to die first. He is our sacrificial lamb. So my question to each of us, because I know that when we keep and get preparing for the Passover and Days of Unleavened Bread, we are checking ourselves and we're saying, oh man, why'd I do that or what'd I do that? And Mike Sherry gave a good sermonette a couple years ago, I believe, and he said, get a list out that you had 5 years before and see how well you're doing. Because you see, whenever you repent of a sin, you pretty well knock it out the door. You hit a home run. You say, I'm not going to do that again. I've fallen to that so many times. I'm not going to do that again. And next time it comes about, you kick it in the teeth and it goes out like a football. It's out of your way. It's out of your light. You're doing well. The only problem is, somewhere and sometime, not all sins, but some sins, Satan keeps bringing them back because he knows that we're human. And he wants nothing more than for you and I to fail and not love God with all of our heart and might and do his will and bring glory to his name. So he keeps bringing back things that we may have done. And somewhere down the line, somehow, it seems like, at least in my life, maybe you're much better than me, which I don't doubt that at all, but you don't kick it out too hard. You say, well, I haven't done that for a long time. That's just a mistake. And we don't repent of it. We don't kick it out the door. And then it comes back again a little bit sooner. If you ever notice, if you ever had the problem, and I've had the problem before, it comes back a little sooner. Instead of coming back maybe once a year, it may come back. Since you didn't kick it out so hard, he may bring it back in about 6 months. And if you don't kick it out the door hard again, guess what? So, ooh, I got a piece in his armor that he's slipping in. He's got a hole there, and he hasn't patched it. Because the only way we can patch our armor is to repent. And it'll take that hole away where we have slipped. So, my question today is, how are we doing? How are you and I doing? It's only been 51 days. 51 days. I looked at myself and I've fallen a few times, sorry to say. Maybe I got upset about something or whatever. I'm not here to confess you what I've done. I'm just trying to tell you things that people do. Some people fall back on escalators. I definitely wasn't happy about that. But anyhow, you got to realize that Satan is always there trying to get us. Don't ever think that we've ever overcome anything forever, because we are human. Satan is stronger than us unless we have God's Holy Spirit working in us daily. So my question is, how are we doing as ambassadors of the living God after 51 days? Turn with me to Ephesians 6:20, if you would please. Ephesians 6:20. This is, of course, Paul saying this. He's saying, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. An ambassador in bonds. And that's what we are when we're Christ's children and God's children. Because Christ gave his life for us, and we're God's children as long as we are doing our part. And we're to be ambassadors to this world that we live in. And every day, people look at us. Every day, we set an example. And it's either good or bad. And we need to be sure that we're working on becoming that good ambassador, the one that God can say, he is doing a real good job. He is really changing. She has really been helpful to other people or to her mate or whatever. Haven't they grown? So proud of them. Or do we have a kink in our armor that we need to be working on? Maybe you and I need to think about looking at ourselves more often than just maybe a month or two before Passover. Maybe we need to get that list out that maybe we made or things that we had that we worked on and said, how am I doing in this? Or maybe a list you had a few years ago and you realize, yeah, you know, I did slip and I didn't really kick it out the door. I didn't patch the armor. I left the hole there. It can become a gaping hole if I don't get it cleared up. And we all have our problems, and we all are human. But we also have God's Spirit, and that's what tomorrow is all about on Pentecost. God has given us His Spirit at baptism. Let's not let it go to waste. Let's listen. We have a problem. Let's listen. God's Spirit will nudge us if we're willing to listen at times. I've done things where I question myself, and yet deep down digging, I said, well, maybe I shouldn't do that. Well, being stubborn, prideful, whatever it may be, vanity probably more like anything else, I did it. Proved out that I had to pay the penalty. You know, sometimes you pay a penalty, it takes time. Depends on what it is, what you've done. But we, you and I, need to really keep in mind, how are we doing? It's only been 51 days. And I know when I came to Passover, I was hoping I had got most of the things that I knew of, and of course I asked him to forgive me the things I don't know that I've done and help me to get rid of them. And I'm sure you do too. And we need to make sure that's what we're doing. You know. So let's go back to verse 10. In the top of my verse, it says, armor of God. Here he says, Paul says, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in power of his might. Of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil or Satan. Satan blatantly went after Jesus Christ. Think about that. In Matthew 4, remember? He went after Jesus Christ. He has no boundaries. He is so arrogant. He is so vain. Because he wanted God's position. That's what got him in trouble. But he is not hesitant to go after any of us. And we need to always keep that in mind. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. If we don't have God's Spirit working in us, He will eat us up alive. If you don't believe it, think of the people we know who have left. They left because they quit repenting. They quit patching the armor, wherever it may be. And finally, Satan will find a way to get to a part where it's the killing spear that takes God's spirit out of you. We don't want that. God doesn't want that. We want to be in God's kingdom. God has chosen you and me and any that he's given his Holy Spirit to be in his kingdom. He didn't call us to lose. He didn't call us to quit. We have to understand that it's not over till the race is over. We cannot stop halfway. If you want to stop and keep walking, that's good, as long as you're walking forward. But don't stop and quit. Never quit. God never quits on us. Let's never quit on God, and we'll all be there in that family we want to be in. So verse 13 says, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." Those are darts he wants to take and take away your armor and my armor. "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." The Bible that you and I have to read, that he's allowed you and I to understand. And we are to keep his word. "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." You and I are someday going to be open. We're going to be teachers. We're going to be teachers in the world tomorrow. You get to stand up and help people understand. And be thankful that you're there to help them. Because you'll see the love that God had for you and me, as we'll be showing that deep love for them, wanting to understand and do what God wants. And to be a part of the family. Of the God family. "Which I am an ambassador in bonds, and that therein I may speak boldly." And if we know God's truth, if we're studying, if we're praying, if we're applying what God has given us, we too will boldly speak about our God and our elder brother, Jesus Christ. And we will never be afraid, because we will have total trust in our God, because we know that he loves us. And all we have to do is ask, and he'll be there if we're doing his will. The other thing you and I have been called to be is a light to the world, as Jesus Christ is a light to the world. God the Father is the light, the biggest light. It talks about in Revelation there in 21. Being in a city that's 1,500 miles square and 1,500 mile high. God lights the whole thing. That's over half the United States and 1,500 miles high. That's what our God's light is like. And Christ came down here as a light to you and me, giving us his word as God gave it to him to give to us, that we will be in his kingdom. We are to be so thankful that God loved you and me, called us and has given us His Holy Spirit, that we know to keep God's commandments. We know He is coming back. We know there is a better world ahead. If you see the world we live in now, surely we want something better. I mean, if you told me the world was like this 10 years ago, I thought it was bad then, but it was nothing compared to what it is today. And sorry to say, unless we repent as a country, it's going to keep getting worse. Because that's the only way things are going to change. And all you have to do is look back in the Old Testament and see the examples that are given. Whenever Israel repented, God finally forgave them, but He had to pay a lot of penalties for the rebellion. And we will too. We've been a chosen people because of our forefather Abraham. All the blessings we've received is because of his obedience and loyalty to God. And down through the time, He's been able to bring one or two through to bring it down to each of us. We've been the greatest nation on the earth. But we're the borrower now. We're in deep debt. God warns against that. You're to be the lender, not the borrower. Because then somebody owns you. If I have big debt on my house, they can come take my house. They say, I want your money right now. I want you to pay for this house now. And you say, oh, I ain't got that amount of money. I said, bye. You're out of here. I take it. That's what borrowing does to you. If you don't know what you're doing. You got to be careful. It's a slippery slope once you get into it and get started. I've been there before. Maybe some of you have too. Got credit card debt. Took me years to get out of it. Probably paid them back 6 times or 7 times what I owed them, but, you know, it's part of the deal. I signed the papers, right? I made the decision. And that's one thing you and I must own up to all the time, is our spiritual life is between you and God and me and God. It is a personal thing. My father-in-law, like I've told you many times before, back in Revelation, I think it's 3:10-11, I'm not going to go back there and look at it, but it says, let no man take your crown. Let no man or woman, sorry, I don't want to leave you ladies out, I don't want you to feel what you're left out in this one. But that's what Satan will use against us. You know, in Matthew 6:33, he tells us we have to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. His righteousness is His law. And His law is what? Of love. Everything in that law is love for you and me. Everything. Telling us how to live our lives, how to be happy. I'd like for you to turn with me to Proverbs 14:12, if you would. Always remember this verse. It's in the Proverbs. There is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. If our ways aren't God's ways, then we're not having the right ways in our life. But God tells us, you know, if we're not doing His will, then we're going the wrong way. And Satan will gladly lead us down what they call the merry path. He'll lead us down gladly saying, come, ye all who want to come. I have riches over here for you. Christ didn't fall for his lingo, did he? Back in Matthew 4. He said, don't tempt the Lord your God. Don't let Satan tempt us away from the living God. We need to stay close to God. We need to study. You know, we're to be that bright, shining star, light to the world. Let's turn to that in Matthew 5:14. That's what we've been called to be, is become servants of the living God and be the light to this world that does say, you know, Joe, he was always different. Always wanted, he's kind of funny, but, you know, he's always a nice guy, but he's just kind of a little odd. You know, he kept the Sabbath day, and some other things he did, but, you know, he was always a nice guy. Well, you know, she was kind of weird in a lot of ways, but she was always helping people, and, you know, she was, you know. See, that's God's way, loving and caring, you know. And that's what we'll be doing. We're to be growing. So in verse 14, Matthew 5:14, it says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." They can't help but see us. They may not understand us, but they know something's different. My neighbor one time told me, he said, "You're a little different," but he says, "You're okay." Took him about 7 years to figure that one out. but we became good friends after that, you know. And he said, "Yeah, you go away on that Saturday." We're not exactly sure. You know, I said, "Well, I go to church." He goes, "Oh." He was a good Catholic. Like it says in verse 15, "Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it shall give light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven." We represent God the Father. We really do. We really do. The more we understand that, you and me, the better we will do. We will make sure that we study more. We'll make sure that we put God first and seek His kingdom. Probably none of you have ever done it, but I've skipped prayer in the morning before when I've been late for work or something. I jumped up, forgot, knocked off the alarm, tired, took off. Well, hopefully when we come back home, we get on our knees and thank God for taking care of us during the day while we was there. Because you see, He understands we're human, we're weak and carnal, but He says, just make sure you come back. Make sure you know where you're getting your strength, where you're getting your energy, where you're getting your knowledge, you're getting your protection, you're getting your love. Because it comes from God. Turn with me to Psalm 19, if you would. Verse 7. Here David has a psalm here, and he says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever, and the judgments of the Lord are true, and righteousness altogether." More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them and the servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. That's something we all need to keep in our prayers. Secret faults. Because sometimes we don't know what we're doing until we finally see it in God's Word sometimes. Or somebody points it out to us in a loving way. with love, not with... Keep back the servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. David was close to God, remember? Very close to God. Very close. David did a lot of things wrong. But he had a good heart. He loved God. He made mistakes. His armor got burst. And a people that are that close to God can have their armor pricked and torn apart. Please don't think any of us can't. Because we are totally human and susceptible to Satan every day and his demons. And the only way we're ever defeated is keeping close to God and having his Holy Spirit working in us. That's our line to God. We have Jesus Christ we pray to. He intervenes for us on our behalf. He's been physical. He knows the pull of the world. And he overcame them all and never sinned. You and I definitely know we have not got that far in our life and never will. So we have to stay close to God because he's a forgiving and loving God. He's loved us from the day we were born. He made sure that each of us has been called and we're all from different areas, different parts. We would never have known each other. I've been dating church here for over 50 years. And I'm so glad I know each and every one of you. And our love for each other should grow every day that we're together. Our prayers should be very heartfelt when we pray for someone who's hurting. Because guess what? We want you to pray for us when we're hurting. And we want it heartfelt. Because it's out of love. That's exactly what God wants to hear from us. And miracles do happen. Nothing is. There is nothing our God can't do. Nothing. We can be on our deathbed, and if the prayers are strong enough and God wills, we can come back up out of that bed like nothing. I remember a lady. I can't remember her name. Anyhow, in the Dayton church many years ago, she had stage 4 cancer. She's in a nursing home up in Englewood. I can't think of the lady's name. She drove an old brown Oldsmobile, 98. See, I remember everything but that. See, that's a man, he remembers a car. You know, man, car, yeah, I remember that car. But she was basically, said she's going to die. Her brother, who was a doctor, came over from Columbus, Ohio, and took care of her in hospice because he wanted to be with her. Does anybody remember the name of that lady? Okay. I put a name to it. Anyhow. And now guess what? 2 months later, out of hospice, she walked out. Cured. Cured. I almost forgot her name. Getting old, but it did come around. 360s is kind of slow, but it come around. But the thing is really ironic. Their brother who come to take care of her, she outlived. Now, people can say whatever they want, but I knew that was a miracle of God because she had people praying for her. And had been stage 4, and that bad, her brother came from being a doctor, took off and wanted to care for his sister. And did care for her. Our God can do anything. Never give up. All we have to do is ask. All we have to do is seek. And we'll find. Because he's always there. You widows, you ladies, I know you have it tough. But you know, you have so much power with the Almighty God. I would never want to offend any of you. Because you know, I don't want the Almighty ever mad at me. And if I offend any of you, I'm in trouble. And I know it. I felt that from the day that I ever came to church when God says, take care of the widows. And I lived by that ever since. And don't get me wrong, I probably flubbed up before. The widows, in the same sense, make sure you give thanks to God for all the help you have from one another and from others. Because as long as we're thankful, God will continue to take care of us. So I'm going to tell you an experience I had. I'm going a little long, sorry about that. But I had a little experience back probably 35 years ago, 40 years ago now, with a widow. Nice lady, had two small kids. So I hadn't been married too long, I guess it's been 50 years ago, almost 50. I would go over and cut this lady's grass for her. And take her kids to little YES things and stuff like that, you know. And one day I'm over mowing her grass, and she comes up and says, well, you have to do this. And I go, what? That's exactly the way she said it. I mean, she wasn't thankful. She said, you have to do this. Well, my human carnality, which I have plenty of, and still have some, of course, I said, yeah, but it doesn't have to be for you. I didn't tell her that, but that's what I was saying to myself. And I never went back. Now, I never stopped the kids, though. I still went over and took the kids to outings and stuff because they didn't have a way to get there. But I never helped that lady ever again. I'm sorry. I had to repent of it because I didn't want to go against God's will, but I said, she's not thankful. Not that she has to say, oh, you did this. Oh, you know, I didn't want that. But to come out and say, well, you have to do it. It's like I wasn't doing it in generosity because I wanted to help. She took all that away. So I'm not trying to, you know, I'm just trying to tell you, always be thankful. You know, we're all to be thankful. When somebody comes to visit us, somebody says, you know, calls us, I'm always glad to see everyone. Well, maybe. I had to give her a hard time. She's a friend. No. You know, but you know, it is wonderful we are a family. But we have to realize that this is our life. This is not something that you do for a while and you quit. That's why it's about the talents, you know, or the seed. It fell some good ground, some bad, some, you know, come up. We don't want to be. We want to be one who's straight going, serving and loving, and growing closer to God. So we need to make sure that the God who loves us, and it says in 1 John 4:7-8, let's turn there. John 4:7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love, and God is our Father. So he loves each and every one of us. And he wants us in his kingdom. And we have to be doers at all times. You heard James 1:18. Let's go there as we finish up. Well, close to finish. James 1:18. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engraft word which is able to save your souls. That's you and me. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he behold himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. And we have seen that happen to many people that we know. But whosoever looketh unto the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. God saved his word for you and me and all mankind. We have a book to study, to read, to know. And if we know it, we are to do it. That's why we do things that other people don't do, because God opened our mind through our reading and understanding that this is his truth. This is God's way. This is God's holy Sabbath day. You and I are privileged to be here by the calling he has given you and me. And we're exactly where he wants us to be, because that's why he called us to be here. We sang the song today, "How Great Thou Art." Couldn't put any better, could we? Doesn't it tug at your heart when you hear those words? I remember Mr. Armstrong used to say he had a hard time singing songs in the songbook, because he started hitting the meaning of them and he started thinking about what it was. And he couldn't finish the song because it just bracked in his mind. You know, and some of these songs just take you and you're just like, oh, you just like to sit and listen to everybody else sing and hear the praises that you and I are giving God. Because song service is such an important part of Sabbath service. We are singing praises to our Father and our God. And he knows if we're heartfelt or if we're just going through the motions. So I pray that all of us will always be heartfelt and love our God and serve our God. Let you and I do what Adam and Eve didn't do. Let's choose the tree of life. Life with God the Father, Jesus Christ, and all of God's family, whom someday we'll be surprised probably how many there are of them that we don't know about. We will someday be able to name all the stars, all the planets, as God does. He knows every one of them. At my age, I'm starting to forget names. I go to people I know sometimes, and I have a hard time to think what their name is, and I've known them for 20 years. You're going, yeah. So you try to talk until it comes around. So you who are young, guess what? It will happen. I know I go out in my garage, and I try to figure out why I went out there. I say, I don't know if I wanted to go to the freezer. I don't know if I want to go to the refrigerator. I don't know if I'm looking for a tool. And I hate to tell you, but 9 out of 10 times I have to walk back inside that stupid door. Sorry, it's not stupid, but I'm the stupid one. I walk in, as soon as I walk in the door, yep, I know what I'm after now. But I've stayed out there 5 minutes saying, I am not going in there. My vanity wouldn't let me. I said, I am not going back in that door. And guess what? I went back in the door. So, age will, you know, get to all of us. But with God's help, we'll stay close to him. So in closing, if you'll turn with me, 2 Thessalonians 4. Four I want you to think tomorrow and today. Today on God's holy Sabbath day, tomorrow on God's feast of Pentecost. Keep these verses in mind. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. The first resurrection, folks. That's what we've been called to be a part of. We've been called, you and I, nobodies, but God has opened our minds to understand his truth. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. After trumpets, this is where we're heading to. We want to make sure we're on fire. Study, prayer, and growing and reading God's word. Because we all want to be there when Jesus Christ returns. Whether we are alive or whether we're 6 foot under. Or some may be in oceans. But the point is, they will be raised first. And then those who are alive will be raised. And then our work really begins. That is just the beginning. Because we're going to be working with millions and millions of people. And hopefully helping them to see and understand that they will choose the living God as you and I have. Have a great Sabbath.